Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate and they died, but the one who eats this bread will live forever." He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about him, said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But among you there are some who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the first who were the ones that did not believe, and who was the one that would betray him. He said, "For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father." Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Our readings this day, though not intentionally tied together by the architects of the lectionary, have a single question at the heart of them, and it's a very ancient human question that I'm sure predates history. And the question, in variations in different cultures, goes something like this: where does God live? Where does God live? Where does God live? It sounds very basic, right? It sounds like a question that we would expect to hear from a first or a second grader, perhaps. But it's a very astute question. Where does God live? I live in a place. You live in a place. The creatures of the earth have places to live. Where does God dwell? Where does God dwell? About 1,000 years before Christ began his ministry, we have this image from the building of the first temple in Jerusalem of Solomon saying this high prayer to God, bidding that God take up residence in the holy city. And if you watched closely the text, there is this moment in which Solomon recognizes that there is no place that can accommodate God fully. Not even the heavens can fully accommodate God, let alone the earth. And so this is a humble asking for God's presence to be in this holy place that Solomon has caused to be built in God's name. It was a delayed project in the stories of Solomon and his father David. David wanted to build a house for God, but God said no, because God wanted to remember David that it was God who provided him a place to live, and it was God who provided his ancestors a place to live when they were wandering in the wilderness. It was God who called them from the bonds of slavery into the wilderness to begin with, and it was a God who promised to grant them a home. But God told David, I'll let your son do it. All right? You're going to have to pass that project to the next generation. That notion that God had a house to dwell in settled very much into ancient Judaism, so that there were actually two temple periods, the dividing line being the Babylonian exile, which happened about 4 or 5 centuries after Solomon's reign. The point being that the focus of the tradition grew very much on the temple itself, the place where God dwelt, and so a whole economy, a whole priesthood, a whole body of people formed their identity around that location. So that by the time of Jesus' ministry, there is a tension between the people who are centered on the temple and their people who live out in the further reaches of ancient Israel. The question goes back to the basic one, where does God live? Where does God dwell? In our second reading today, which comes later in the first century, we have this letter attributed to Paul, written to the church in Ephesus, where there is a different language happening here, and it's a language of a people who have experienced occupation, and they know what it's like to live with soldiers around. So the author takes up this image of armor, but instead of creating an image of violence and domination, he turns it into language of spiritual power. And that is the taking on of the Christian virtues, like patience and righteousness, and even implied in the text, love itself, as the things we wear to be the armor of light in our day-to-day lives to bear witness to God. That is to say, God has come close enough to be a source of protection against the evil powers which the author to Ephesians casts as something spiritual and something even beyond the worldly powers, but something that we all must confront in our lives. The armor of light, the author calls it. Where does God dwell then? With us, seems to be the implication. With us in the old tradition to offer some protection, perhaps, at least against the spiritual evils of our lives, and to inspire us perhaps to love others and to reach deep within ourselves and draw on those resources that help bring life to others. God dwells close is the answer to the question of where does God live? Well, God lives close to me and close to you. To be companion with us, protector even, to inspire us. But the final step in today's readings, of course, comes in this conclusion. Yes, we finally got there after 5 long weeks of this language in John's Gospel about bread, that God actually wants to dwell in us. Jesus makes it explicit in today's reading that the language he has been using is spiritual in the sense that it is not to be taken literally as much as disclosing to us a spiritual truth, and that is the dwelling place of God, which John has told us the whole time, is within the human person. Other authors in the New Testament will take that and run with it. Paul will write about us becoming a holy temple for God, each of us. And this is important because for the tradition, the year 70 AD is critical because that's when the temple was destroyed and that heart of Judaism for 1,000 years was torn out by the Romans. And so now what happens? Well, for both the Jewish tradition and the evolving Christian tradition, we now recapitulate the temple wherever we gather and create buildings like this one to inspire us and remind us and invite God in. And we take up an ethical tradition to remind us that God is with us, a companion on the journey. And then for us as Christians, we take on the sacraments to remind us that God dwells in us. And that when we dig deep for those resources we need to navigate this life, we are not digging deep into simply ourselves, but we are digging deep into the divine life within us. So it's not simple enough to address that question, where does God dwell, with, well, God dwells everywhere. That's true. But to point out the inspiration for our lives comes from the reality that we continue to encounter week after week and recapitulate in this place, and that is, God dwells in you and in me and in us gathered together and in this place. And if in this place and among us and within us, perhaps out there as well, ready to greet us and bring us new life. This is why Peter, in one of his unusually inspired moments, says to Jesus, "You are the one who has the words of eternal life. Where else would we go? Where else indeed? For the God who dwells with you and with me and in us and among us, loving us moment by moment into being."
Thank you for listening to this sermon podcast from the Episcopal Church of Our Savior, Mill Valley, California. We are a growing community welcoming those seeking to deepen their relationship with God and to journey in faith with God's people through the breaking of bread and in service to others in Christ's name. You may reach us by phone at 415-388-1907, search for us online, or visit our website at oursaviormillvalley.org. We wish you God's peace. We hope to greet you in person very soon.